Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about automation update number 15. So, you're obviously listening to a podcast, and I've in the past been a robotics scientist automating factories. And in a production environment, you settle down to work with them for a while and actually build a bespoke robot for production process for them, and eventually it gets documented into ISO 9000, 9003. That results in a quality product. And so with this podcasting stuff, there's sort of the aim of getting the podcast done at a sufficient rate on two sort of levels. One for cognitive rehabilitation, to be able to speak coherently for a long time on a topic for a while. To get various other materials. So if you just practice reading aloud and you don't practice into a dictaphone, it's sort of a bit sad. But also down the track when you're eventually, hopefully, going back into the classroom and you'll want to actually hit there for each lesson. You have a podcast explanation of the lesson. They can hear a series of podcasts of different aspects of it. And then associated with the podcast built up from that is a multiple choice, a word search. And there's going to be a few other things that I'm looking at. And, I can't believe it. Automation podcast number 15. So there's been various ones up. Now, it may be, to you, anyone listening to this, an insane thing to do, but look, you're not alone. There's been a few people who've just followed me as I've slogged away at automation. Now, they haven't followed it the whole way through, but they've come in at certain points in time, really enjoyed the solution processes going forward. So that was definitely true for one of the first robotic rigs I built in building something called optical fiber circulator. So these are special sort of, what do you call them? Multi-way mirrors. It's a bit hard to describe how they're like. It's sort of like a routing in a train line, at the points in a train line. They're things called optical circulators. Have to really go back to think about it, but to get that to work, I just cobbled together bits of old poking machines, bits of circuits, just wired it straight across, and there was little bits out of a toy car which would rotate and scramble the polarization of a laser beam, pointing up laser beam, stop it speckling, and all that type of, all this sort of thing would come online, line for it. And I didn't sort of realize that at the time, but there were various people become quite attached to it. And so when it came to pass that they were wrapping up the company, and this is the company was eventually sold to Nortel. Nortel put in lots of millions of dollars, built something, and they eventually sold the whole lot. And it came a time to liquidate it and auction it. These people were really bidding for this old piece of equipment because they'd become quite attached to it. And various people have sort of stayed with me looking at the different levels of automation. So you have seen me bit by bit work on a mobile phone, working out from a mobile phone onto a dictaphone, working from a dictaphone to a better one, slowly getting across the lab view to handle the file and, bits of things not work from time to time. I think someone said, oh, look, listen to a podcast that was double the speed. Ha ha ha. I didn't listen to it ever again. Well, that's one of the things. As you slowly move forward. My last sort of podcast, and so one of the things you do is that you have a range of things you can do at any one point. There's a range of things you can do. You can develop your central podcasting thing, or there are some satellite programs. I don't remember. I think there's three satellite programs then. Yeah, there's three satellite groups of programs to connect them up, and you've got to work out how to go, and you don't take it too hard, too much. So the Podomator is what I had to work on. I'll just talk about that for the moment. So this is a software device where you just simply plug in your dictaphone, and you always have to say, look, the computer detects that it's there, but what would happen is I'd have to press a button. I put it in and press a button. So, strangely enough, that's one of the things I've done since last episode, is just got that up and running, and it's surprising. It took about half an hour, 20 minutes to get it done, and that's when you plug it in, it works out that it's there, because it's always polling every couple of seconds for the directory in your anything plugged in, anything plugged in anywhere, it polls around for the directory on. And then if it's there and it's a file, it will copy it out and put it in the hopper ready to go. Fairly straight thing, and empty your dictaphone of any files. So you can have multiple dictaphones that just, whatever that happens, it just empties it up and stores it and tidies it. And, this would only probably take, automating it, really only took, I was thought it would take 5 seconds, but it's actually rather good, because the computer can be actually asleep. You know, the screen can be asleep, and you plug it in, and it will just quietly, without anything logging in or anything, or passwords or anything, it will just quietly take it off your file, and you can go in, and it'll go in and take it off, and that's a valuable 10 seconds away. And it sort of really rather adds it up. And then the other thing I was doing is that if you, while podcasting, get interrupted or you have to stop, and your podcast is broken up into little bits, and early on in rehab, I wouldn't last very long. I last about 10 minutes before I have to stop podcasting. This reassembles the file. And did that take a bit? Yeah, so I had built it such that it would take an array of files. It would look for an array of files. If you told it to look for an array of files, and stitch that together. And initially, because that's a fault area, I'd say when you're getting an array of files, I didn't realise it took a little while. I used to stick in a little, I suppose, lever or button saying, there's only getting me one file here. So it took a while to remove those little line of coding. It's a graphical language, so it's just a little one then pushed on it to a for loop, I suppose, is what you'd call it in the old days. Yes, it's called a for loop. And so take that off, and and so there's about two or three instances of that, and I just had to really check that it worked. And the interesting thing is that I would, in this environment, produce 8 goes at this, and as it tests, it automatically publishes it to the internet, but not onto the feeds. You can hear an Australian bird, a white sulfur-crested cockatoo, flying over the place. So I took that out, and it was interesting that some people from Germany or some place, different parts of the world, have actually broken through the feed burner layer that I have, where I put a tag, and so they've broken through and had, for some reason, downloaded these 10 files where it was just music introduction, me saying one, where I'd count 1, 2, 3 in different files and make sure that it did the files in the right direction. But that was nice. And then at that point in time, went to move the buttons or the inputs into logical areas on the podcast area and put a decoration behind it. So there's a class of 3. So what happens is you publish a podcast. Sometimes it may be original. Top of it is an original one. And it takes an image of that and stores. It publishes it, but it stores an image of the recording necessary to do it. So what will happen is that you'll get another podcast up and you say, look, that looks very much like it. So you just say, Oh, that's right. You say transcribe the cover from here to over here. And so that speeds it up an awful lot, because it's got the title of the same setting and the page setting. And then, I think the word increment I have. And so if it's of a particular type, I'm going to take three or four goes at reading this new scientist, you then press increment, and there's another, really, there's three buttons here, I really can't remember, there's a third button there. So there's sort of three buttons to handle the transcription, there's three buttons to handle the files of covers, the cover files, sort of like, say, albums, of the old vinyl albums, cover that. And the main thing is that it records everything that you produce. So you might produce 10 or more podcasts a day, and that's 10 covers that you've produced, and you really don't need those 10 covers. And so I have it that you can delete a whole series of them. So you can delete the 5th, the 7th, the 13th, the 17th. And then you've just got the thing of how do you know that you've selected those to delete. And, if you delete the 5th first, everything shrinks down. You have to count the number that you delete. But if you delete from the highest number first, so I just delete from the highest number first, go through, delete it. And then, what is it, a failsafe that if you've deleted the wrong thing, you could just press the reverse button. And, and a save button. And so I just want to think, there's three buttons to handle the covers, three buttons to cover the, transcription. So it's, I've really forgotten what the third button is. I've programmed it, and this is a bit of worrying. And then to actually publish it, you can listen to the web. So check the web, and that's a long time thing. That's using some really hashy old code. So where I've got that done is that it does it from time to time. So what it does is it checks, you're given the file, the size of the file it's given, then the size of the file of it prepared on a local computer before it goes to the web. And this is MP3, MP4. And then, it'll eventually, in the background, it'll say take an hour or so to send something up to the web. So eventually you go up and you'll just check that at the end when it's done, it's cooked properly, everything will be hunky-dory. And so that's one button to process it, and one button to listen to your podcast. So if you've got a series of podcasts and they're all, as you put them in, all by numbers of dates and times, not very helpful. You know, you're confused, you want to listen to them. And that there goes, so it just sends the podcast file to a browser, and the browser set up to listen to it. One of the things that I have done subsequent to that, so that's the closing up of that, then there's an in-between program, which collects all the images of the podcast. So that handles everything. The podcast goes up to the web. It's the indexed iTunes, Twitter. It's all held together. It does WordPress, Blogger. Does it the whole lot. I'm not really looking at WordPress because that's a bit that really makes my head hurt. Think about it. And yeah, this is the overall problem. I've got to think at the level of strategy at one point, and I'm thinking about this, and thinking about this really displaces my thought about other thoughts, so it's good to get it out of the way and thought. So that produces a series of podcasts of certain titles of podcasts. Then if I have and so there's a general idea of the title of the podcast and where the assets are stored, in this file, database file, right? And that file is retrieved and up on a multitask this, you can select, say, 5 podcasts at random if you wanted to, and that sublist is taken across, and then you can look at that sublist. You can't reorder it. That's one thing I haven't really thought too much about. And then you add onto it just a label name, and you also add on to it a point and where it wants you want to build in this app. So I have an app which covers all the podcasts. That's the third level of things. And then there's a series of things that because the very top layer, the Podomator, has actually created the word search and the multiple choice with it, and that stores it in with the podcast where it is sitting on the internet. So this thing is a very simple piece of code. It's still like one page long. There's nothing to it. It will go, and if you select the things, you can say build it. So it will take your app, the podcast app, and build it with the new set of podcasts. So yesterday I did the Children's Encyclopedia of the Earth in 7 volumes. That was a bit of a struggle. And then it would, for each of those, produce 3 other little apps. And so it would do 7 fours. I can't even think what that is. 28. It puts 28 little apps up there. And so the build, you then open up, check the build is okay, check it's saying. Then you press burn, and it burns from the construction app, the check app, onto the actual app, and then you press take it to internet. So that's all nice. And of course, you, at the other end, you have this website that you can go to and get all the podcasts and stuff like that. And of course, now with that app written, we're ready to add a few new things to get going. So if you can imagine, my progress forward is blocked by people saying, oh, we're not going to let you back in the classroom, we're not going to let you do this, we're not going to give you that. And so I'm just slowly, quietly building over. So each lesson has got this podcast system with it, and it's got these physical mobile phone ads. And as you read, resource after resource, it's the same mistakes, and you're beginning to repeat yourself about the correct way to do it. And obviously, that's time to write a research paper. So I'll have another app that you can drop in, which is the research paper. And so it'll be a research paper similar to the podcast. Listen to it. It'll be a research paper which I'll begin writing. You can see me write it live, because no one really cares. You can see me writing live, and I'm aware that people have begun looking at the app and looking at spelling mistakes on it. Can I change this or that? So I think the real focus is no one's going to read the app. They will read the research papers. So that means the lesson goes in, the theory goes in, the resources go in to it, and also the research paper gets to come up. Now, you may laugh and say, look, this is okay. And I agree, it's not going to be much biz within a certain period of time. But previously, I had been writing research papers on areas of teaching, going into depth. It'd be very worthwhile, except they'd just say, oh, what's this? Irrelevant. And so, say, research papers I've done on Einstein and Faraday and organisation of ideas, etc. They've just sort of sat there as people have said, no, this way they can get sort of almost self-published on the app, but not in a way of, citing it. It's just, you can see it being produced, and then we'll eventually submit it. I've submitted a few research papers, so that will eventually slowly move forward, that I can start working on it. Bear in mind, I have some key thinking things, which is just escaping me. Now, the other thing that I'm doing, this is Podomation, is, and this will be short Podomation, and this is audio multiple choice. So what I want to do is to have someone on the school bus or driving in. Now, what happens is, particularly with selective schools, the way it goes is that the selective school operates on a tier system. Okay, so you go for the high selective school and you go down to a selective school. And so what happens is that local people go for the local selective school. Local Aussies will go for the local selective school. So the catchment for the local Aussies will be, say, within 10 kilometres of your school, and the people without the sort of second generation, third generation will think nothing of getting their kids to travel 70, 50 kilometres, because that's a huge area. So a lot of your clientele in your selective schools travel a huge distance, so they have a long time on public transport to get there. Just a different clientele, different set, and potentially a different ability to learn that you can podcast to them. And what you want to do with the podcast is having the multiple choice. Now, in theory, they can go in and do the multiple choice that I've done ahead. The idea is that that's all designed for in-classroom tests. You know, you can do the multiple choice. Now, at this point in time, the multiple choice is of a certain level, and it will improve. And the word search, it will improve to support. What you wanted to do is advance such that you can have a listen to your car. You can listen to the car multiple choice questions to it. Whether you want to actually bind it to the actual podcast or have it for a multiple regions is another thing. And so, essentially, I could read a multiple choice going ahead. That the technology is, I can just say the question, answer A, or just one answer, two answers, three answers, four answers, and the software will pick that up and cut that up and randomly place the correct answer as A, B, C, and add A, B, C. So it will say, I'll say, who discovered the paper? Lord Kelvin, Walter, who brought the potato to Europe? Walter Raleigh, Lord Raleigh of Raleigh Scattering, Lord Kelvin, and Dick Van Dyke. So I would say at work, and you would hear question 13 is, who brought the potato to Europe? A. Walter Raleigh. B. Dick Van Dyke. C. Lord Kelvin. D. Lord Raleigh of Raleigh Scattering. And of course, next time it formulates it, it randomizes it by audio, and then a pause, thinking time, and then the immediate answer audio. Because if it's an audio technique, that's the way to go. So it's a new audio thing. So I thought. So you're thinking along these lines, and how can you with your software engines, which is from the turn of the millennium, get this to go ahead. And so essentially you want to record a file, and for it to be intelligent with no effort, that you just record the file, put it in the file, and it just automatically does all the work for you and produces, say, this multiple choice thing where you'd put the minimum amount of work in and it does it all for you. And I can't really tell you because I think it might be patentable, protectable, and there's no real benefit for it. But there is this way where I can just do that, and it's effectively voice recognition, which can pick up everything, and then resynthesize it. So the synthesizing is pretty similar to the way that I synthesize a podcast with the music at the start, the deal, and then the finish movement, which just sort of goes on for far too long for podcasts. Looking at, so that's down the track. It's sort of, I'm at the stage of looking at it and trying to think your way through, for what the various ways that it has. And so this is, you know, basically voice analysis, how you can get MP3 voice analysis fairly easily, and get that into to LabVIEW. And so LabVIEW operates the voice analysis of LabVIEW operates on wave files are very simple files, and so there's just a bucket of work to go. And perhaps that will be 3 weeks, 4 weeks before, if you want to hear a multiple choice, you're driving a long car, or, I don't know, going for a jog, you can actually have a listen to it, into it. And there's almost two reasons why I'm not saying exactly how I'll get the voice recognition to work. Because firstly, I haven't done it. I don't know whether it will actually does work. But if it does work, that's the start of... I'll record that as a proper provisional patent, but I'll still write it up in the invention section. So I do have an invention section of it. I can't remember what inventions I've put in the invention section. So if you look in the... application, you can click down and we'll do podcasts on inventions as I go forward, and as you come across it. So that's the Podomation 15. I can't imagine, but firstly, I couldn't imagine actually doing the stuff I said in podcast 14 so trivially, at the time going ahead. And what it is, it's just as complicated to actually plan the timetable and the programming to do a modification as to get in there and just do the modification. And this is with the automatic plug-in the concatenation of files to get across, and it's just something I can't really do a podcast in. I'm also very much aware of, you know, trying to manage areas which I forget about. So I have to really, really concentrate and get across. So that's the general thing. So coming up is the paper. So I'll get onto the paper pretty quickly because that's getting a bit of irritation. And then possibly 3-4 weeks before you'll have a new fangled thing in podcast world. Besides the Podomator, which allows me to get podcasts out very quickly, you'll also have the podcast. A podcast multiple choice. Can I actually organise it such that you can score yourself with it if you really want to? I can possibly see how. I can't see how in this particular methodology it would work all that hard, in terms of there's a lot of thinking about the entire education system and why you'd want to keep that data and how you'd use the data. Like, the automation would probably be set elsewhere. And this is the overall idea, is that people... the automation is not the delivery thing. It just increases your productivity in getting up to traditional delivery. So as you're listening to this, this is a traditional way of listening to information. It's just that I produce a hell of a lot more, and it's not a greater way. It's less fatiguing, and it allows me to actually spend more time thinking strategically, trying to think your way through problems. So thanks a lot for listening. Catch up with you later, mate. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.